Okay. Thank you, ladies, for sharing with us about how faith can be so relevant in our lives, whether it is in making choices or having to face storms at a workplace. I think that's what faith is meant to be. It's meant to be applied. It's meant to be part of an everyday life that we go through. And I think that's something that we will want to continue to grow in and to develop for ourselves. So appreciate what you shared just now. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't encourage people to go overseas. By all means, do so. But I think, you know, we recognize at each stage of our life, what is it that is most important? What is a major concern for your life? And I think at different stages, we would ascertain and ask ourselves what is crucial for us. And if going overseas is going to affect your faith, then what's the point of going overseas? You can get world fame, you know, in the dentistry world and so on and so forth. But what's the point if you lose your faith? So anything that can and will affect your faith needs to be reconsidered. It could be work, it could be family, it could be anything. And if it's somehow affecting your faith, not growing your faith as you should, then we need to rethink how we should approach these things. Okay. All right. Last week, we were looking at this idea of the furtherance of the gospel and how Paul sought to, despite being in prison, despite being where he was able to minister and to be so concerned about the furtherance of the gospel and being able to focus on that, nonetheless, despite being where he was. And that's something that we want to appreciate. And then if you had that kind of spirit, a spirit of faith, spirit of being able to reach out, the brethren, they responded with boldness because of Paul's example. And that made a difference. Okay? Now, today we are going to continue this section here, but I'm really going to change the focus a little bit to much more about what it means for us to find joy. You know, joy is something that all of us will want to have. You know, some of us are born with joy. That means, you know, you are a very bubbly person. Right? You don't need soap. You always, you go into the water, there are bubbles, you know, naturally, somehow. Well, I think, you know, some people are naturally very bubbly, right? Some of us are not. Like me, you know, I'm born with a face that, you know, is fierce, and if I don't smile, people are wondering, oh, how come you're so sad, and so on and so forth. Actually, I'm not sad. God gave me a face like that, what to do, you know? I have to accept it. Yeah, many times I've been sad, and then I say, no, I'm not sad. Well, it's just my face, you know? So, but nonetheless, I think joy is not just about who you are and what you are born with. I think joy is so much more. And joy is something that we want to have consistently, right? Even through challenges. So even as you look at Paul and how he is in prison, he is faced with all kinds of challenges, he still finds joy. So maintaining joy despite the problems of life is something that we want to think about and discuss today, and how we can rise above the challenges of life. And sometimes it's important for us to look beyond Perspective is so important. How you see things, how you see the situation, you know, so you have, you know, a journey of life, and along the way you have storms that will come, there's thunder and lightning, you know, and no, that's not so much a, it's more like a sigma. Yeah. Do you say sigma? Yeah? Wow, Jane said sigma. That's okay, very good. Huh? Oh, she said, oh, right, Zara, sorry. So you have lightning, yeah, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's so important to recognize if we are there and we see things from that standpoint, it will be very tough, right? Because we are in the storm. But if we learn to rise above and we see beyond and we recognize that, why? If we recognize that if we look, then, you know, there will be clear skies ahead, right? Wow, there will be sunshine and then, you know, things will be very nice and, you know, the storm will blow over sooner or later. What I'm trying to get at is that, you know, how you see things, and especially if you are able to see things from the big picture, rather than, you know, be so myopic in how we see things, it makes a lot of difference. And that's something we want to learn from Paul this afternoon. Okay? Because he had his own fair share of problems. I mean, already he's in prison. Right? What could be worse? Well, he had to experience things that turn out to be, you know, even more challenging. Okay, so let's look at Philippians 1 and verse 15. Okay. And verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Okay, so there were some of them who were enemies. Enemies of Paul. And there he was in prison. Right? Already that is in a way to their advantage. But you know what? They were going to take matters further and make things worse for him. And they are going to preach Christ even from envy. Right? So it's like in competition. Even in the Lord's work. Right? You have been preaching Christ. Okay, now you're in prison. I'm going to preach Christ also. But you know, it's out of envy and strife. Right? Okay, I left my Bible. Jared, sorry, can you pass me my Bible behind the seat there? Yeah. And, you know, it's just being able to see things. I'm just going to switch it to us a little bit when we talk about envy and strife. I mean, let's try and deal with this a little bit. Why do people end up being envy, okay, or envious? Now let's turn to this word envious, you know, it talks about being jealous. And so turn with me to Proverbs 14. In Proverbs 14, verse 30. We read, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Right? So, I mean, if you end up being envious, then that becomes a problem. It can affect your heart. It is rottenness to the bones. Okay? 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. You know, so sometimes we look at others and they seem to be better off, they seem to be ahead, they seem to you know, at an advantageous position, and you, well, how come I'm like here, like this, why I'm here, and you're envious, you know? That is something that we don't want to have. We don't want to have such kind of feeling, even in the context of serving the Lord. Sometimes we tend to think, oh, this person, why is he, you know, better? Why is he able to do this and to do that? And he seems to be doing better. The pastors tend to cite him and so on and so forth. You know, all kinds of thoughts can come into our minds if we are not careful. And we can end up with envy. Now, from envy, you can have strife. Okay? Now, this word, strife, eris, okay, it means to be contentious, that you want to end up quarreling. Okay? Now, that is, again, a problem. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. If a person ends up being envious and being one who would create strife, look at this, look at verse 1. It says that, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal." This word carnal is sakikos, which is the flesh. Okay? "As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk, but not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Can you see this? It's so important for us not to go that way. When you become envious of others, strife may come along very soon. Because when you are envious, you see this person, wow, how come he's like that? He seems to be getting ahead. Then, you know, you don't like him. Every time you see his face, cannot stand him. You know, after a while, if you don't check yourself, strife will come. Okay? And that becomes a problem. So all these people were doing all these things against Paul because they were envious of him. He was getting, you know, he was this great preacher. And they were envious of him. And only that, there came along strife. It became a problem. Okay, let's go back to Philippians 1, verse 16. And Philippians 1, verse 16, we read, okay, "The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains." Now, interestingly, this word selfish or selfishness, okay, selfish ambition, comes from the same word. So there is this word eris, right? And from eris, you get eritheia. And eritheia, okay, so it starts with eris, is selfish ambition. So it is this ambition, this selfish ambition comes from strife. It's because of you wanting to strive that you develop this selfish ambition. You know, that's why I appreciate what Sarah was sharing. I mean, you can be very ambitious. I want to be top. Here, I want to be top, you know, going to the top school and everything else. You can have ambition and so on and so forth, right? And, you know, we're glad that she decided really to be able to grow her faith far more than anything else that the world can present, right? But if you are envious, right, you look at others and you say, wow, this person, you know, I don't like him because he's doing well, I'm not as good. Okay, then you know what? You begin to strive. You strive with the person. because you don't like him. Right? And from there, from that kind of feeling, there comes selfish ambition. So the ambition is about yourself. It's your own way of thinking, how you want to do things. And that becomes a real problem. So it was a feeling that, you know, these people had as they preached Christ. So you can do things, but yet the way in which you did them may not be good. Not sincerely. Supposing to add affliction to my chains. Wow, you just imagine that. That is their true intention, and they had all kinds of ill intention involved. Right? Because ultimately, what they wanted to do, as much as Paul was in prison, you know, they were seeking to add more tribulation. That's the word. Right? Thlipsis. Tribulation. And to add to it, to bring these tribulation against Paul. So not everyone will have the best of intention. But these were enemies of Paul. And they were out to hurt him. They were out to do whatever they could to affect him. Now, if you have people like that or any situation that causes you to be affected, you know, it's so easy to allow these things to lose that joy. He could have. I mean, this was not somebody that, you know, was happy that you are in prison. They are seeking to, you know, to make things even worse for you, to add affliction to you. Now, you try and find joy in that kind of situation. Will you be able to find joy? In the midst of challenges, storms, difficulties, can you find joy? Right? So I had a little storm this week when I lost my wallet. You know, it's very difficult when you lose your wallet and everything is, you know, evolves around the wallet, right? Your credit card, your EasyLink card, and so on and so forth, your IC, your, you know, what else do you have? All the different, you know, cards and so on and so forth. And you know why? You know, I was just thinking, I have to go and call them, I got to go and cancel this, I got to go, you know, go and redo my IC. And now I hear they, if you lose your IC, they'll get you to pay fines and, you know, just like everything else or so. And, you know, so for a moment I was looking high and low for it. And that can make you upset. Upset with yourself, upset with the situation. Now, I wasn't upset with my wife. Anyway, just to let you know, some of you were, you know, not at a prayer meeting. So we rented a car, and because Jinky had to send her car in for some checkup, and or repairs, not checkup, repairs. And we rented a car, so I was, you know, so in the end, I had a car for 2 days. And I used the car, and we were returning the car, you know, on Saturday. And then on Saturday, I was looking around for my wallet, and I couldn't find it. And then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, I couldn't find it. I was upset because I wanted to, you know, all my offering money was inside also. And then my POSB card was also inside. I can't draw money. I had no money. I had to depend on my wife. Who had a lot of money, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, and you know, I was just not, you know, I wasn't too happy about the situation. But, you know, I was just learning what it means to look beyond. I'm just going to trust the Lord. So Monday morning, I was just praying, Lord, please help me find my wallet. Please, please, please. I don't want to end up calling all the banks and so on and so forth. And so I finally called the rental car because Cengi told me, no, I searched all over the place already, don't have. So I'm thinking, don't have, yeah, then maybe, you know, never mind. Anyway, I just try. Wow, when I finally called them and he told me, okay, you know, yeah, we found a wallet. You know, wow, there was such joy. Joy I never experienced before, no. But, you know, just learning what it means to find joy in the midst of storms or things that we go through in life, maybe on a daily basis. There are tough situations. There are tough bosses to deal with. There are tough, you know, colleagues to deal with. And circumstances become even more challenging, you know, when things don't go your way. Can we still find joy? The answer is yes. If we learn what it means to look beyond, see the things that we are meant to see rather than the things that we are not supposed to see, meaning don't look at those things that tend to hurt us the most. Learn to look beyond. Right? So there was joy because there were some of them who served alongside as brethren. So in verse 15, we read, and some also from goodwill. Right? So there were some that did so out of good intention. Then verse 17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. See, some of them would continue to support you because they love you, which is great. Out of love, right? They will continue to show that support, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Because this person is specially appointed, right? He does things for a reason. Out of his calling, he is seeking to preach the word of God, that even in prison, he continues to preach the word of God. Nothing is going to stop him because that is his overwhelming concern. That is his most important concern. If you read Grace Works, well, that was what I was writing about. You look at John, the baptizer, most important concern, the preaching of the kingdom of God. Same for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that was what he started off with throughout his ministry right to the very end. Peter, you know, right from the very beginning when he began his ministry in the book of Acts, Acts 2, he called for the people to repent. Same focus. And then there was Paul. He, as we read here, he is specially appointed for the defense of the gospel. You know, everything else didn't matter as much. So some of them, they recognized that and they sought to do that. On with the same spirit of faith. Now in the Greek, it's very interesting how this contrast is actually made, right? There's these two words that we see, and it's called men, okay? Which is, and the other one is there, okay? And each time when this comes out, you will see a contrast. An absolute contrast. So there were those who were doing things out of ill intention. Okay? They were seeking to do things to hurt. You just imagine doing these things, so-called meant to be God's work, but they were doing out to hurt Paul. You can see their evil heart manifesting itself. And yet you have those who would support Paul. And they sought to do it out of love, out of consideration for his calling, the work that is meant to be continued. So even though he was in prison, Paul understood this. You know, there would be certain people who would have given him that information. And yet he found joy. Look at verse 18. What then? See, that's the challenge. what then? And you will ask yourself, what then? In any situation that you are experiencing, any situation that you are faced with that is tough and difficult, you ask this question to yourself, right? So in this way, you're having a hard time, you have bosses that are unreasonable, you have colleagues that are totally not cooperative at all, or whatever, right? Many people resign, left to you to mend the ship, right? One person, what do you do? You ask yourself, what then? What then? Then what? You know, what do you do then? Sorry? Also resign. Yeah, then become zero. Huh? Yeah. Then what then? Yeah. But, you know, you ask yourself, what then? What are you going to do then if you find yourself in this point, at this point? Are you going to allow that situation to rob you of that joy? Are you going to stare it in his face and say, you know what? Whatever. Right? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Paul says, what then? And his perspective, this, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. So his joy is not found in his circumstances. His joy is being able to go beyond to a greater level of thinking. And that he's seeing the bigger picture, a greater focus. And that is Christ is preached. That is his most important concern. So even if these people are doing out of pretense, right? Or in truth, doesn't matter. To him, the most important thing is that Christ is preached. The assumption here is that Christ is preached properly nonetheless. Okay? That's the assumption here. Because he cannot rejoice if you preach a false gospel. Then there's no rejoicing in that at all. But the assumption is that the gospel is preached, whether it is a pretense out of spite, strife, envy, out to hurt you in whatever way, to him, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay because Christ is preached. So can you see that light in the midst of that darkness? That greater perspective? That higher perspective that we all need to understand. See, it took spiritual maturity for Paul to do this. We recognize that it's not easy. It is not easy to understand this. To be in prison, to be not only in prison, but others are seeking to add suffering to you, hoping to hurt you. Right? It's like somebody stepping on your feet, and not only step on your feet, right? Ask somebody to climb onto him. And so that there is a greater suffering as a result. To make things worse for you. Yeah, people are like that, right? People like to make things worse for you. To make sure that you not only die, but you die and die and die some more. Right? Enemies are like that. But can you still find joy? Paul did. He was not affected. You know, so I like to think that Paul was in some kind of zone. You know, wow. His perspective was, so despite being in prison, whatever that looks like, And then, you know, with the knowledge of what people are doing out there, outside of jail, and they're seeking to preach, but with all kinds of ill intention, you know, I'm going to do this against Paul, you know, to say, to do this, especially to hurt him. And there he was, despite that understanding, that information, he was still able to find joy. And we come to verse 18, and it says, "And in this I rejoice." Wow. And in this. So from what then? He went to this. In this. What is this? And in this I rejoice. So the word rejoice, as what we have spoken before, comes from the word kairo, which is grace. Right? And you can rejoice because of the grace that is in your life. So grace and peace. Grace comes up again. Grace comes through a form of thanksgiving, manifests itself. Grace comes up with joy. Right? Early on we read, remember, verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy." Same root word, joy. Can we find joy? Okay, any questions at all? All of you are very joyful people. Every day, la-di-da, you know, it's going to work, it's such a joy. You pounce to the MRT and... and he's saying, yeah. Is it still valid? Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, you see. Is the ill intention is against Paul, not the gospel. You know, it's not, they're not, is what they're trying to do is, you know, it is because of Paul. Paul may be a significant figure, you know, as he served the Lord, as he ministered, and what he taught, and so on and so forth. But his enemies, you know, they did it against him. So is it still valid? The answer is yes. Because that's why the idea here, you look back at the notes again, right, early on. I purposely put the two verses together, 15 and 16, and you notice the common thing is preach Christ. Preach Christ. So even though you had all these circumstances, these people that were doing things that were against Paul, the focus is still the preaching of Christ. See, the preaching of Christ to Paul was the overwhelming concern, focus, the furtherance of the gospel. To him, that was the most important thing. So that's why the assumption is that what they preach was something that could be accepted as truth, right? Even though it is done out of ill intention. So Paul went beyond. He learned to see. To Paul, the most important... See, whatever it is the most important thing, that is the thing that will bring joy to you. If the preaching of Christ is important to you, when you hear of someone coming to know the Lord, when you hear of a person preaching, sharing that faith with others, that will bring joy to you. Because Christ is being preached. Right? No matter how. So that's something for us to appreciate. Okay, any other question? Yeah.
Hello. Pastor Mark, can I ask two related questions?
Yeah.
Historically, who are these people, as in the ones who are preaching Christ against Paul?
Yep.
I mean, other than Christ and the apostles, who are they? And the related one is, if they have been so-called endorsed to preach Christ, why would there be this envy and strife?
Okay. First of all, the enemies, we are not all that clear. But along the way, we will see that some of them did teach false teachings. When we come to... Okay, let's go back to Philippians. Let's go back a little bit. We'll go forward a little bit, actually. You will see in chapter 3... Then you have those who have come in unawares and stuff like that, right? And chapter 3, when we do get to chapter 3, 2019, wow, you have such hope. No lah. verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. So there are some who would come, but these are more those who ended up with false teachings and so on and so forth. Okay? So there were different kinds of enemies that he had to experience. Now, some of them would, you know, you have those who envied him. I mean, we really don't know beyond who they were really. We can't really pinpoint exactly, but they were there, and they were out to get Paul. That's the thing, you see. The problem with envy and strife, you can begin well, right? But you can develop envy. You look at the Corinthian church which we talked about. It's not that they were not gifted. They were gifted, right? They are all spiritual gifts. In fact, one of the most gifted churches around. But because they were carnal, envy and strife came about, and division. Is there such a danger? The answer is yes. Can such a danger affect our church? The answer is yes too. So we need to guard our hearts, right? Because if you see somebody doing well, being praised, then you ask yourself, should I rejoice in that? And the answer is yes. But if you start feeling, oh, you know what? How come he gets the praise, I don't get the praise? Then envy comes in. And after a while, you realize that you start having all kinds of negative feelings against each other, which is not the best. That's why we want to be able to abound in love instead. Why don't we choose love instead of envy? So it starts with envy. And then it moves on to strife. From strife, it will come up to selfish ambition that it, you know, which has its source in strife. In wanting to strive, you know what, I want to do better. See, when you take that kind of approach, it's never a good approach. It's very important to go beyond. Why do we need to take that approach? Why don't we learn to love instead? Abound in love for each other, right? So that we will be able to say, let's keep that oneness of heart and mind. And sometimes it's a feeling that we will all feel, right? And you've got to learn to keep that feeling in check. Learning what it means to rise above instead. See beyond. What is the most important thing? Christ is preached. The work of God continues. The work of God grows and develops even more. To me, that is far more important. So what is most important to you, see? If you tend to think, oh, I'm the more important, why is it I'm not acknowledged? Why is it that I'm not praised and so forth. If you take that kind of approach, then it is about yourself. So these people who were doing all these things, you know, they end up with all kinds of envious thoughts that were totally wrong, which we want to guard against. But it's possible. You can start off well, having all kinds of good intention, but it can turn into something that is wrong. And especially when you allow your heart to go the wrong way and become, and you end up with being an enemy. You know, I've seen this happen time and time again, even in the context of the church. And we want to be able, so it's possible. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so it's important for us not to allow these things to take away the joy that we are meant to have, right? So Paul talks about, and in this I rejoice, so present joy, I rejoice. I can find joy now, even in my present state. Yes, and will rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, the future tense. And it's a joy that is real to him. It is not just a consideration, it's not hypothetical, it is real. And he's even talking about the future. He's anticipating that he will find this joy nonetheless, whatever he's going through. Sometimes we all tend to talk things out, you know, in your discussion, what is this, what is this? It's hypothetical. Hypothetical thinking, you know, can go so far in the mind. Sometimes we need to think through things hypothetically, sure. Sometimes we need to raise questions hypothetically, sure. But what we're really talking about, faith is real faith. And joy must be real. It must be there. It must be something that we can anticipate, whatever it is that we go through. It's real. It is obvious. It's strong. I don't know whether you've seen or have you ever seen joy from that angle. That joy must be something that is strong. Right? We talk about, oh yeah, our spirit must be strong. Yeah, you know, we must persevere and so on and so forth. But what about joy? Do you have a strong joy that is not going to be affected? Nothing is going to rob you of that joy. You know, it's so easy for us to allow things to rob us of that joy. Why don't we find joy instead? Even if you have to deal with whatever wrong thoughts, wrong feelings that come our way, like envy, strife, and so on. Why don't we learn? See, to these enemies, to me, there is no joy because they are envious, they are striving, they are not sincere in what they're doing, they have all kinds of wrong ambitions. What joy is there? Even though they may be preaching Christ. So we may be serving the Lord, but we may not be serving with the right intention. And that's dangerous. Right? This is the kind of joy that Paul had. And this joy is something that is found in Christ. Again and again we emphasize this. It must be in Christ. Serving the Lord must be in Christ. Living our life must be in Christ. All that matters must be in Christ. Right? Let's turn to John 15 for a while. Okay. And so this idea of abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word, okay? And verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy. You know, that's something that we all must learn to have. I don't mean laughing all the time, right? I mean, by all means, laugh. There's some ladies, you know, just everything also laugh, you know. Hee hee ha ha. And which is fine, you know. They're very bubbly and full of bubbles, you know. And which is fine, which is good, right? And but I don't mean just, you know, laughing all the time. I really mean that there is that sense of joy deep down. Joy that comes from within. Joy that fills your heart. That is really from the Lord. Right? These things I've spoken to you, all these things that the Lord gave to the disciples, that my joy may remain in you. Okay? And same word, The word remain is the word abide. So it's not just about love, the word of God abiding, or the word of Christ. It is also his joy abiding in us. And your joy may be full. The idea of how that joy must keep growing and growing. And again, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God fills our life, there will be that special sense of joy. So sometimes I have to learn to fight my own thoughts too. And I fight it until I find that joy. I deal with it. I learn what it means to look beyond. I look to God instead. I look to His Word instead. I look to the Lord's joy instead. And that you will be filled, right, and full of joy. Right? Full of joy. And I don't mean going for a buffet and fill yourself, you know, silly with all kinds of food, which is fine once in a while, right? Do I still go to buffets? Yes, I still do. But you kind of compensate it along the way after that. You know, you kind of like, okay, let's just take fish soup for the next few days, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, it's not just filling ourselves with food and, wow, and then I'm full of joy. Yeah, you can be full of joy for a while, and then when you go up the weighing machine, then joy is robbed. No, right? No, it's really being able to be filled with the Lord instead. So, in Christ, right? Joy in knowing this. So, right? Now what? What do we do? Well, we learn to find joy. In the midst of all kinds of challenges that we will face, what then? Ask yourself this, what then? What am I going to do? Are you going to choose joy? Or are you going to choose something else to mope in the storms of life? No. In this I rejoice. Paul chose joy instead. And he continued to find that joy. He found joy in Christ. He found joy in the preaching of the gospel. So look beyond. Look beyond. See the greater scheme of things in life. When you learn to do that, you realize that whatever I'm going through is really nothing at all. I know it's hard to get there, but our reasoning must be spiritual reasoning. Our reasoning must be mature reasoning, so that we will be able to have the kind of perspective that Paul had, and therefore being able to find this joy. Well, even as we go into our groups, I hope that you will really encourage each other to find joy despite the challenges of life. Okay, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you that we can find joy in you, in Christ, and in knowing the greater perspectives of life, like the preaching of the gospel. We thank you for Paul's example, that despite being in prison, despite having enemies seeking to do all they could to hurt him, he was able to rise above these things and to find joy. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to find joy in our life, in our ministry, in our daily walk with you, so that this joy may be something that can truly manifest the grace of God in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us even as we go into our groups. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go into our groups.